Hello and a warm welcome to Econoday Unplugged. It's Tuesday, the 19th of March, 2024. And in today's edition, we'll have a quick look at the long-awaited but only just announced change in Bank of Japan policy. I'm Jeremy Hawkins here in London, and to take us through the latest developments and what they all mean for the economy and financial markets is Econoday's Japan expert, Max Sato. Okay, Max, after what, 8 years, the BOJ has finally left negative interest rates behind with its first hike since 2007. So first things first, what did they actually do and did it meet market expectations?
I think this time Governor Ueda and his team were sort of setting the stage for this moment. Through public speeches, press conferences, parliamentary testimony. So I think the market in general knew that it was coming. And what they decided, as you can see, is basically going back to the pre-Kuroda easing days, using the short-term interest rate, overnight interest rate, as the main target, main tool for either easing or tightening. So from minus 0.1%, now back to a range of 0 to 0.1. As you can see, it's not a major tightening. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we knew it was coming too, but the bank does not target the 10-year JGB yield any longer.
Can I ask you quickly on that? Sure. Because I noticed that they came out and said that they'd be buying, was it broadly the same quantities before when it comes to 10-year JGB? So does that intimate they've still got an interest at the longer end, or is it just simply to do with balance sheet management or what?
I think they just wanted to get rid of this legacy framework, mm-hmm, from the Kuroda days. And that's why they went ahead in March instead of waiting longer till April. And by doing so, they have a freer hand. They don't have to worry about, oh, the JGB yield is just above 1% or, you know, hitting higher. Right. Now they can let the markets decide, but they're also promising to keep the financial conditions accommodative. So that means they can intervene anytime. And the governor said yesterday, Japan time, that he doesn't instruct the actual financial team to have a specific level for the 10-year yield, but it's all up to the market conditions, whether it's moving too fast or not.
Okay. In terms of the timing, you mentioned there that, you know, pretty well is already embedded in the market that they had moved. Why did they move now? I mean, I know you've been talking on previous podcasts about the need to get hold of wages data. Was it that which finally triggered the pull on rates today?
Well, as I waited for this meeting, a few months ago, I think I was saying they'd rather wait till April because, mm-hmm, you get a lot more information. But as we got closer, I changed my forecast earlier this month, as I saw more comments from board members, and also in a country where the atmosphere mood is very important and sets the stage. Not just BOJ policymakers, but media campaign of, oh, it's coming and what's going to happen after they make the first step. And also business leaders are saying, we will raise wages. And some companies are actually, there are reports coming out saying, we offer more than the unions were demanding, and we do need people, especially qualified people. So the picture was changing quickly. And so then last Friday, when I saw the results of the Rengo Union Federation's first round of calculations of how the member companies are agreeing to union demands, and that's when I thought, oh, they're going, definitely.
Okay, fair enough. Right, well, let's have a, what do you think about the economic impact, indeed impact on financial markets of this? Because I mean, at face value, let's say what amounts to 10 basis points doesn't really mean a great deal, does it? But how to that extent, how significant do you think the tightening is going to be?
Yeah, this is an interesting question because you can't just put the Japanese framework into the Western way these days because Japan suffered deflation for so long. Mm-hmm. And so lifting a little bit of, the short end doesn't mean they're tightening, but it's more like trying to reduce the negative, the cost of holding this framework for too long. And as you can see, going into the meeting, there was a little bit of yen buying, but yen's not very strong. And I think the dollar at some points was top heavy, but you can see the U.S. Labor market is still resilient. So that means people know that the Fed's not going to cut rates aggressively. So that means, on one hand, Japan is slightly raising the rates, but U.S. is not going to aggressively cut. So that with that combination, there's no way that the yen can appreciate so much. Right. And at the same time, the Japanese stock market's trying to do some catch up. And of course, you know, they already hit record heights before the meeting. So maybe we're not going to see too much momentum in the stock market, but definitely this gradual tightening is kind of a still giving support to the stock market in general here, I mean in Japan.
Okay, I was going to ask you particularly with regards to the exchange rate. As you mentioned, I think we only have to go back, the back end of last year, certainly, when the typical view in the financial markets was that, well, look, if we look into 2024, the Fed's going to be cutting interest rates, the BOJ is going to be raising interest rates. That's got to be good news as far as the yen's concerned. As you said, I mean, if anything, since the BOJ moved, the yen's actually weakened a little bit. And we've seen a more gradual approach coming into markets now in terms of Fed cut rate expectations. So is the BOJ going to face a problem, BOJ and the MOF going to face a problem now in the sense that we've seen intervention last year when we saw dollar yen going around and above 150. Now we've seen interest rates in Japan going up, but dollar yen's still gone up. So is it the case where do you think we're going to see pressure for additional intervention if we see dollar yen continue to rise, particularly if the Fed doesn't cut interest rates as quickly as people think?
It's up to the MOF to decide, and MOF people have been saying that they look at both the pace of appreciation or depreciation of their currency plus the absolute level. And you know, if the dollar keeps rising way past 150, of course they would consider. But at the same time, they have to keep in close contact with the treasury people. So the dynamics between the two countries, you know, U.S. election year, and you know any trade issues if Trump is reelected. So it all comes into play, and it's not an easy thing to focus exactly when they step in. But you know, for example, if the dollar keeps rising 1 yen a day, that would be a good indication that the MOF would have to step in.
Right. Okay. Right. All right. Then. So we know where we are at the moment. What about the future? What does the BOJ and perhaps even the MOF look at next? I mean, is it the case that it's still all about inflation and you know, sustainably meeting the inflation target? Can they ignore the real economy when, okay, I think if member up there revised away recession, but we're hardly talking about a particularly robust economy. So what should investors be looking at now when they're trying to gauge what and when the BOJ moves next?
I think it's going to be interesting to see the BOJ's quarterly outlook report to be issued late April. In the new fiscal year, which means they're going to have their forecast for the board's forecast for not just fiscal 2024-25, then now 2026. And that will give you whether the latest rounds of wage hikes going to be enough to sustain the CPI, core CPI year-on-year increase around 2% or not. Is it going to go southbound or northbound? Mm-hmm. That's going to be an interesting indication. But at the same time, as you mentioned, this is not exactly tied to every update on the economic and price conditions or outlook. It is more like, for example, okay, I'll put you back into the, take you back to 2013 when then Prime Minister Abe was doing a campaign to turn around Japan's economy.
Yeah.
Basically cash injections by the BOJ. So that was then. And then Abe's gone, Kuroda's gone. So basically it's like constitution has changed. Now the Ueda's mission is to normalize the BOJ's policy. And that's what's happening now. But mind you, back in 2007, February, that was the last time BOJ actually raised rates. But
right.
The framework back then was simpler and more normal. They managed to raise from 0.25, 0.5. But then they ran into the global issue of the U.S. Property problems and global recession. So that was it. They couldn't go further. And look at the picture here now. It's minus 0.1 to a range of 0 to 0.1. It's like a baby step.
Right.
And they have more room, but I don't know how far they can go.
Well, that actually, if I could do to interrupt, that's really kind of my last question in terms of, you know, as you mentioned, it is a baby step. We're really talking about still as near as anything, you know, zero rates. How far up do you think in short-term interest rates can go now?
Well, talking to BOJ people and ex-BOJ people, the normal thinking is, okay, from 0.1 to maybe 0.25 and then 0.5, that's as far as they can see. It's really foggy and not clear skies or clear waters. And who knows, there's going to be another outbreak of a pandemic or global geopolitical situation so fluid. So I don't think it's an open-ended pursuit of a series of rate hikes to make it, you know, to a more neutral level so that they can cut rates in a normal way when bad things happen. I don't know if they can actually lift it to 1%. That may be too far. So I think the board is thinking maybe if they could raise it to 0.5, that's quite an achievement.
It's quite interesting, I think, isn't it? I mean, as you say, you can't necessarily compare monetary policy in Japan with what we're seeing in the West, but you're talking about, you know, they'd be pretty happy perhaps if they could get the short-term interest rate up to 1%. But we've got a 2% inflation target, so we're talking, you know, a negative 1% real long-term interest rate, which, mm-hmm. you know, is very much in, you know, contrast to what we've traditionally seen with pretty well any Western central bank, where at least real interest rates have some degree of positivity over the longer run. So your view is that basically we're still going to end up with negative real interest rate in Japan.
That's quite possible. I don't know if people like it, though. I can see people being fed up with holding a weak currency, yeah. and not earning anything for the fixed income earners, retirees. So, and then, you know, if they import, they lose money. Or mm-hmm. If they want to go overseas, they feel really poor. So I think that's affecting the approval ratings of the Kishida government too. So, you know, in the interest of both the government and the BOJ, they have to raise rates. Meanwhile, if they do that, there's going to be reports on the other end of the scale saying, well, you know, what happens to mortgages and smaller firms say we don't have money to raise wages like the big ones. So it's going to be a gradual step, but the BOJ traditionally does want to raise rates so that they have a safety margin.
Right, like any other central bank. Fascinating stuff, Max. Anything else you'd like to add before we close off?
I think the only other thing is I thought, well, they may not wait, because how much longer do we have to wait to see how smaller firms can actually raise wages at the same pace? And in order to get the information, eventually you have to wait till the fall to get the Labor Ministry's monthly labor survey. So that's going to be too late, so definitely behind the curve. So as we prepare for this March meeting, I thought, what difference does it make between March and April? And at the same time, there's a political factor. You must have seen the reports of money scandal among major factions at the LDP ruling party. So Kishida's standing doesn't look so firm. There was a risk of not being able to raise if they waited too long. So that was another consideration.
Where would we be without politics? Okay, that is great. Thank you very much indeed for that, Max. And folks, of course, more generally, remember, you can always keep up to date with all the key central bank moves. And of course, with the Fed Wednesday and both the Bank of England and the Swiss National Bank on Thursday, as well as economic data and events in Econoday's global economic calendar. That's it for us for today, but we'll be back soon with another podcast. Many thanks for listening. Bye for now.